You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, the world is your office with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business with all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
All the big snows this season have been very tough on the New England economy, and they could ripple from there. Correspondent Carlotta Bradley has the story.
Every workday lost during New England's historic winter has meant millions of dollars out of the regional economy. The firm IHS Global Insight estimates Massachusetts alone suffered roughly $1 billion in lost wages and profits. Retailers and restaurants were among the hardest hit, but hotels and transportation companies and other travel and tourism businesses struggled too. Manufacturers report they're just starting to catch up on back orders. Economists expect the ripple effects of New England storms will be felt nationally, but it's not clear to what degree. I'm Carlotta Bradley.
Prices at the pump continuing to climb. Analyst Trilby Lundberg says the average price of a gallon of regular is now $2.54. That's up 21 cents in the past 2 weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
President Obama says the country's racial history still casts a long shadow, some 50 years after the march in Selma, Alabama. Correspondent Ed Donahue.
The president was 3 years old when civil rights marchers were beaten by police.
It was not a clash of armies, but a clash of wills.
Obama rejects the notion that incidents like the death by police of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, is a sign nothing has changed.
What happened in Ferguson may not be unique, but it's no longer endemic. It's no longer sanctioned by law or by custom. And before the civil rights movement, it most surely was.
Obama said so much turbulent history, from the stain of slavery to Dr. King's dream, met on a bridge in Selma 50 years ago.
If you lost an hour of sleep because of daylight saving time, don't worry too much about it. Correspondent Julie Walker explains.
Dr. Stephen Feinsilver, who is the director of the Mount Sinai Hospital Sleep Center, says losing sleep now and then, as with daylight saving time, is not so bad. But overall, you really need a good amount of it.
I'm astounded at how little people tell me they sleep and how little people appreciate the need for sleep. Humans are designed to sleep about 7.25 hours.
He says that's real sleep, and you have to be in bed before then to get that much sleep. If you're wondering when you can make up for that lost hour, we fall back November 1st. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Bill Morrison with USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4255. HMC, or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
All right, local weather here at huntertonchamberradio.com. Outside now, 39 and overcast. Otherwise, maybe a little sunshine today. High near 50. Clear tonight, low in the upper 20s. Tuesday, chance of snow before noon, then rain likely. Mostly cloudy, otherwise, with a high near 43. Tuesday night, rain likely early in the evening. Otherwise, cloudy, low in the lower 30s. Right around 33, they're telling us. Wednesday, partly sunny, high near 53. Cloudy on the overnight. Wednesday, 31 degrees. Sunny on Thursday, high near 48. Heat wave. Thursday night, partly cloudy, low in the upper 20s. And Friday or the weekend, chance of probably the winter mix. Rain, snow, and sleet. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table, Chef Bill's Table. Come in every Monday at huntertonchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, chef here at Jake's in Flemington. And we meet to talk about food, food terminology, beverages, anything, food holidays. Lots to talk about today. We have I call them food holidays, St. Patrick's Day, coming up next week. So we'll discuss some couple of ideas for that. Let's see. Eating the year. Every day there's something is designated, some food item. So yesterday, March 2nd, was Banana Cream Pie Day, which will give you a quick little nice homemade version of that. Today is Mulled Wine Day and also Cold Cut Day. I don't know if the two go hand in hand. Mulled wine, of course, in the wintertime, we season up some wine with some spices and warm it up. Gives us a warm drink in the cool winter. You don't need great wine for this. Somebody even made a version. The author of the book I have, she actually took some sangria and warmed it up. So you have all the fruit in there. And if you want to throw a little cinnamon and clove in there, it's something different. Good warm drink in the cold weather. The fourth, Pound Cake Day. Pound cake, we've talked about on the show before. Very versatile, easy, simple recipe. Originally it was a pound of flour, pound of eggs, pound of sugar, and a pound of butter. Kind of a little heavy cake. We've lightened them up, but pound cake definitely, even if you purchase them, makes a good starting point for few dessert ideas. Fifth is cheese doodles. Cheese doodles, the orange things, whether they're baked or fried. I think it's a kind of a universal snack. Some are extruded. It's usually a corn-based product. And then, of course, you have the cheese powder that gets all over your fingers. So enjoy some cheese doodles. Frozen food. On the 6th, when actually March, you might see promotions in the stores. March is designated as National Frozen Food Month. Obviously, developing frozen food, great boon for preservation, especially vegetables hold their texture and flavor much better than canning, which up to that point was the way to either drying, salting, fermenting, or marinating. I mean, some way we had to preserve the harvest, so freezer does it pretty well. And let's see, the 8th, peanut cluster. Oh, the 7th, National Cereal Day. Cereal still seems to be in vogue. I've seen places on the TV networks there that just serve cereal. I guess in the city that would work. People want breakfast on the go. And I think pastry chefs now, they're actually making something flavored like cereal milk, you know, that milk that's left in the bottom of the bowl with has some of the flavor of the cereal, a little bit of sugar in it, and I guess cereal milk is that comfort flavor that people look for, and now pastry chefs are incorporating that into desserts. So I said eighth peanut cluster, simply chocolate and peanuts, melted chocolate with some peanuts, but obviously you can jazz those up a little bit. And then the ninth is National Crab Day next Sunday, which is could be a whole show just on crab, all the different varieties out there, but you know, definitely something worth looking into. Of course, spring coming, we'll look forward to the soft shells coming, but crab meat's available all year round, many different forms, so good alternative to lobster, although both are fairly pricey. A little bit goes a long way.
But if you have a change of heart, break it on.
Yeah, and coming up, I guess, on the horizon next Tuesday, St. Pat's Day, which everybody wants to go out or cook some Irish food, simple Irish food, but very good. Oh, back to that banana cream pie. I'll give you a quick rundown. One of the best ones I ever made was I used pastry cream instead of pudding. You can make a quick one with cooked or instant pudding and a graham cracker crust. Very quick dessert, or crushed vanilla wafers, either one, with a little butter. But I used to make it with a regular pie pastry and blind bake it, which we've discussed before, blind baking. You dock the dough, prick it with a fork or a dough docker so it doesn't bubble too much, and then weight down the top with your pie weights or dried beans. Another way we used to do it, if you don't really have the edge fluted too much, too decoratively, is just to simply put another pie tin on top of the dough and turn the whole thing upside down, bake it that way. So the crust doesn't shrink back too much. That was another quick way of blind baking. I know my one baker in a hotel used to do it that way. Very easy way to crank out a bunch of crusts. So if you don't have pie weights or dried beans, you can always try that. So you blind bake. You want the crust baked all the way. Let it cool off. And the pastry cream, you need a quart of milk. Whole milk's better for this. Don't get the 2%. You want a little bit of fat in there. And you're going to have a half pound of sugar. 3 ounces by weight of cornstarch. That's going to help thicken it up. And then anywhere from 6 to 8 eggs. If you're using extra large, you might only need 6 eggs. Otherwise, large eggs, you might need 7 or 8. Tablespoon of vanilla extract, and then 6 tablespoons of whole butter. So what we do is take half the sugar and all of the milk, bring it to a boil. You don't want to boil it too long. Just get it so that it comes to that boiling point, and then take it off the heat. The other half of the sugar, the other 4 ounces, you're going to mix with the cornstarch and with beaten eggs. Mix it thoroughly so the sugar is almost dissolving there. And then you can add the vanilla. You can do what we call tempering, which is you have your hot mixture and you have your eggs, and if you dump the eggs all at once into the hot mixture, some might curdle. So what we do is take some of that hot sugared milk, a little bit, and add it to your egg mixture to kind of bring it up to temperature and loosen up the texture a little bit. When that's dissolved in there, then you add that mixture back to the pot of milk, put it back on the heat, and just bring it to a simmer. You want just you don't want to boil it forever, you don't want to curdle the eggs, but just so, you know, a couple of drops, a couple of bubbles happen, and then you're going to stir in the 3 ounces of butter, 6 tablespoons of butter. Dissolve that in there. Texture to look for when it's boiling is that it coats the back of a spoon, draw your finger through it. If that little line stays there with your finger made, then the mixture's thick enough. Now, this is going to thicken up as it gets cold. So you want to do is take it off the heat. If you're in a hurry, put it in an ice bath and whisk it a little bit so the filling cools down. You don't want to get it too cold because you need to pour this. But if the filling is too hot, it's going to cook your bananas. You'll lose some of the texture. So into your pie crust, you slice some firm bananas. You don't want them too mushy. You want them a little bit firm. And then pour over the pastry cream and then refrigerate. You'll probably want to cover it with plastic wrap so you don't get a skin on it. And meantime, to top it, of course, whipped cream. And what I used to like for an extra crunch is actually take frosted flakes, sugar flakes, cereal, and crush those up. And then you could sprinkle those on top of the whipped cream that you're putting on top of the pie. And then, of course, if you like chocolate, a little shaved chocolate. And there you have an excellent banana cream pie. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We'll come back and get into Irish food and hopefully a little bit on the letter G. Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
We're back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table, talking, looking ahead, St. Patrick's Day next Tuesday. Also, remember Flemington Restaurant Week, the 23rd through the 29th. Look for participating restaurants. We'll be there. Jake's, we're going to do a nice little $25 three-course menu. Different items than we did last fall. I have some wine specials out there. Also at Hunterdon County Polytech on Tuesday nights, the Raritan Valley Community College Management program students. We put on dinners there on Tuesday in the spring semester. And tomorrow night will be Southern Comfort. We had to postpone last week because of the icy road conditions. We didn't want anybody out on the road. So Southern food tomorrow night. And then, of course, the 17th will do Irish food. Number there to call. Leave a message for a reservation, 908-284-1444, extension 2122. Served on Tuesdays, dinner 6:30, so check that out. So, it's St. Pat's coming up now. I know it's a week away, but what we want to talk about today is something that might take a few days. What could take a few days? So, Irish food, we think of always the corned beef and cabbage. I know at Jake's we do the beef and Guinness, the Irish stew, always popular. And usually try to do a seafood dish besides fish and chips. We have the bangers and mash. It's great pub food, great casual food, especially being on Tuesday night. It's we'll have the specials, lunch and dinner. So good food. Let the Guinness pour, right? So the corned beef and cabbage. So the New England boiled dinner. I think up in New England sometimes they'll add some beets to that. Of course, the leftovers, you make your red flannel hash with that. Nice, different dish. But the Irish meal was really not beef. It was pork. It was Irish bacon. It could be a little fatty, could be lean. Usually the Irish bacon, if you've ever seen any in the store, and it usually would be fairly expensive. First of all, it's not smoked like American bacon. It's probably more on the lines of a pancetta. The Italians cure pork belly in a roll. You've probably seen that. And different flavor without the smoke in there. And the Irish bacon's the same way, but also it's a lot leaner because what they'll use is the pork loin, the eye of the loin. And toward the back, of course, the Canadian bacon is just the boneless pork loin. Call it back bacon, which the loin is the back. So we like it more from the loin end. And what the ideal thing, of course, is to leave some of the fat down into the belly on there. Now, if you can get a butcher to cut from a pork loin, or even if you buy a bone-in one that's got a little bit of there's a little meat beyond the eye of the loin and a little fat, by all means do it. Otherwise, you could do some cured pork loin and then get a nice, I would say even a chunk of pancetta would work for some cured belly part. So if you want a little bit of the fatty part. So what I'm proposing is, yes, the corned beef's good. Briskets, it's a tough call. There's a wide price range out there depending on how much pump, we call it pump, how much salt solution and water is back into the meat. So I would say for something you want 16-17% is probably a good brine. When you brine a product, of course, it initially draws moisture out, but then moisture flows back in through the cells and kind of helps in the cooking process, especially something that has to cook a long time. As some moisture evaporates, of course, it still leaves a good moist product. So normally the brisket, of course, the whole brisket, there's a couple of muscles. They run opposite ways. So when you're carving, we like to break, cut it across, and you're going to slice one part against the grain. Then you have to go another quarter turn and slice the other way. So you always want to go against the grain. You can get a first cut or you can get a flat, leaner. Again, a little bit more money, but it'll yield you a lot better. Some folks also like the round, corned beef round, which, I don't know, a little bit too lean for my liking. Although, on a sandwich, it might be, if you're trying to watch your fat intake, of course, the round would be the way to go. But initially, it was pork. And, of course, coming to America, where beef was king, beef was the plentiful meat, of course, found the corned beef. And that kind of substituted for the Irish bacon. I'm saying now with the, I don't know if you checked meat prices lately, beef is up. You may want to go back to the pork. And if you use the pork loin, you're not getting a real fatty piece. The fat's on the outside. And, of course, if you're frying some up for breakfast, then you want a little bit of that fat to render and flavor maybe your potatoes or fry your eggs. But I would cure a piece of pork loin. And by curing, we mean putting it in a brine. It takes about two to three days for the cure to work all the way through. If you want to cure your own brisket, of course, it would take about 5 days. But basically, the same kind of thing. You're going to put it in, a gallon of water and some salt and sugar. And then if you're doing the corned beef, you use pickling spice. And also, you need what's called pink salt. And that's your nitrite there. And that's always for a preservative. It keeps the meat with that pink color when the... We used to call it salted beef or corned beef. Term corned beef came from the little kernels of salt that looked like corn. The pink salt gave the meat the red color instead of being kind of grayish and bland looking. Not really the same color as rare meat, but I think that was what it was supposed to kind of imitate. But actually, also the nitrites helped preservation, which before refrigeration, of course, was important. So if you like the pink color, of course, use the pink salt. For a gallon of water, you need 1.5 ounces by weight. And you have to be careful with the pink salt. Don't sprinkle it on your food. It's too much if it's not good for you, but a little bit, very helpful. So if you have a gallon of water, 1.5 cups of kosher salt, a cup of sugar, and then 1.5 ounces of pink salt. And for a basic pork loin, 4 pound. Now again, leave some of the fat on there if you can on the tail, or get a piece of pork belly and throw it in there too. Now we'll use for pork, usually use a bunch of sage and a bunch of thyme and a couple of cloves of garlic. What we have to do with the brine, of course, is heat it first so the sugar and salt dissolve, and then you start getting a little flavor from the seasoning. If you're doing more of a traditional corned beef, you would use pickling spice, a couple of tablespoons in there, and maybe not use the sage and the thyme. And instead of bringing the whole gallon, what I do with a little shortcut, I'll take 1/2 gallon of water and bring that to the boil. Then the other 1/2 gallon will be ice water. So once the simmering's done, the sugar's dissolved, add the ice water, and then it comes down to temperature better. You don't want to put your meat, the pork or beef, whatever you're curing, into a warm brine. You want it to be chilled. Of course, the meat has to be submerged. What I'll do is, with a dinner plate, weight it down, something that a little heavier than just a lid. You want the meat to be totally submerged in the liquid. And you can check it every half day or so, turn it, make sure that it's curing evenly. But when the curing's done, you dry it off. Best thing, you could let it rest uncovered for a few hours in the refrigerator, and then simply you could simmer it, or you could even braise it, slow roast it. You could do 250 degrees in your oven, cover it so it steams. And either way, when it gets to be the pork, when it gets to be that 155 degrees or so, it's done. And then, of course, the carryover cooking is going to finish it the rest of the way. If you're using brisket, it's a tougher cut of meat. And so you need to simmer it a little bit longer. I usually do what I call fork tender with a 2-prong cook's fork. I'll spear the product. I wait after about 3 hours. It usually takes 3 to 3.5 hours to tenderize the brisket. And I'll put the tines of the fork in there and twist it. If they twist easily, that means it's done. I remove it from the broth and let it rest. And then sometimes we glaze it. That's always a possibility, a little sugar and mustard and white wine. You can brush a little glaze and finish it off in the oven if you like, or just start to enjoy. We've got a break for news. We'll come back and continue on with our Irish dinner, Chef Bill's Table.
Honey, when they gonna send me home? USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor. An ISIS sympathizer from Ohio says he planned to carry out unthinkable atrocities in the name of ISIS right here in the United States.
I would have took my gun, put it to Obama's head, pulled the trigger, then I would unleash more bullets on the Senate and the House of Representative members, then I would attack the Israeli embassy.
Christopher Cornell called WXIX-TV in Cincinnati Collect from jail last week in an interview his lawyers tried to keep from being made public. Federal investigators say Cornell researched how to make pipe bombs, purchased a gun, and made plans to travel to Washington to carry out an attack. ISIS sympathizer Christopher Cornell says homegrown ISIS terrorists are plotting attacks in the United States.
We're in Texas, we're in Ohio, we're in New York City, we're in Washington, D.C.
The FBI says ISIS could be behind the hacking of several Western websites. The attacks over the weekend hit a number of websites, including a NASCAR Speedway in Ohio, a New York hotel, a Goodwill in St. Louis, and a church in Canada. This is USA Radio News.
589%. 589%? That is how much more fat you could burn if you were using the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ilikehowilook.com. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. A double-blind controlled clinical study showed that the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system burned 589% more fat than exercise and dieting alone. Think how much easier it'll be to lose weight. Go to ilikehowilook.com and read the study for yourself. You swallow a small capsule at 10, another at 2, and eat a tasty collagen protein candy chew anytime you need a snack. And with that, you could burn 589% more fat. Watch the video at ilikehowilook.com to get the full story. Most people notice a curbed appetite and more energy the very first day. It's safe, all natural, there's a money-back guarantee, and they'll even send you free samples. Go to ilikehowilook.com. ilikehowilook.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Table here, so corned beef or corn, actually cured Irish bacon. As I said, I would have a little bit of the fatty part, especially after you've simmered it, using that broth for your cabbage, if not your other vegetables. It is kind of a good one pot meal. Trying to judge when the meat's a certain amount of time away from being done, and then you add your vegetables. I'd say what happens is you allow a good half hour or so for your vegetables, but if the meat happens to be done before that, you simply remove it from the pot and finish your vegetables. Another way of doing it, of course, we do in the restaurant. We have slow cookers that cook at 250. We cook the corned beef right in the bag. Is our method. Of course, you know, these ovens are on timers and they hold at 160, so the product doesn't overcook, but it makes sure that the product is safe. But cooking in the bag, what it does for me, of course, is it saves that cure. You've got the liquid that's in the bag that was, you know, from the cure. Usually there's a little spice packet in there. Sometimes the spices are floating around. Sometimes there's a little packet that's optional. And if you're going to simmer it, of course, you'd open up the spice packet and put that in your water. And we also like to throw in at least an onion or something in there, maybe an extra bay leaf, because, you know, you want to put a little bit more flavor back into that corned beef. Onion always works. And then it'll kind of melt and little pieces will be there to flavor your vegetables anyway. But another way, what we do is cut a couple of slits in the bag. We'll take out the spice packet and then rub the pickling spice over the surface of the meat as best we can. It's kind of a little few slits. You got to slide your finger in there and kind of spread it around. And then those go in the slow cooker. Now, the bag's not going to burn because as long as there's liquid on the other side of the bag, just like a roasting bag, you won't have any melting plastic. But at 250 degrees, that's another way to cook the corned beef without, if you don't have a big pot. Or maybe you want, you don't have to watch it simmer. I'd say mainly if you don't have a huge pot to put everything in. But then what we do, though, is save the broth from when the corned beef is done. And that's what we use to cook our cabbage in. Potatoes could be cooked and carrots, of course, in the same broth. Or you can steam them. Depends on what you like. You can use little baby carrots and small red potatoes. Even if you're not a fan of a big head of cabbage, some little Brussels sprouts would be very good. Same family. They're just little mini cabbages. I guess it depends on the presentation you want. And, of course, with the broth, always, I know a sauce you can make. We, traditional, of course, would serve mustard or make the English mustard from your mustard flour there. Just make a little thin paste about the consistency of heavy cream. That's pretty hot mustard. Some of our guests like the our horseradish cream, simply horseradish and sour cream. And actually some guests like a little bit of the broth and stir the horseradish cream into that and makes a nice kind of a, you know, loose sauce, but very good with the corned beef. Of course, if you're doing the Irish bacon, then the mustard would be a natural thing. Personally, you know, I'd like to try the tradition. Try the Irish bacon. Cure a pork loin. Easy enough to do. It's usually, if you find Irish bacon in the stores, it's usually sliced, thin slices. It's very good, by the way, but expensive also. Usually, if you have a little time and a little, want to experiment a little bit, can't be bad. Whether, you know, if the cure is there, it's still going to be a nice little pork dinner anyway. So check it out. The other favorite we like to do, of course, the beef and Guinness. You know, that would go with our letter for the day was supposed to be G, but I'm not sure how much we'll get to that. But actually, Guinness and beef stew, very good basic dish. What we like to do is buy chuck pieces and cut our own cubes. Regular stew beef is okay, but I like to control the size of the squares that I use and also the fat. You know, you want some in there, and of course, the chuck by nature, you have a little more fat, you know, inside the meat itself, but you don't want too many big, huge chunks. So I'll buy, you can get boneless short rib or chuck blade meat. You want something that you're cutting your own cubes. Important to brown it. Now, a small batch, traditionally, you would lightly flour and season the beef, and then in a heavy pot, get your oil up high and get it brown. Brown it in batches so you don't really steam the meat. And the other way we do it with if you have a large batch or you don't, again, don't have a big pot, is crank your oven up as high as it can go, 550. And I started in a roasting pan, get the oil hot, put the beef in there with a little salt and pepper, and into the hot oven. About every 15 minutes, I'll turn it. Now, you remember, you're cooking from all over, so it's 550 degrees. It's going to brown it fairly quickly. Maybe not as nicely as you do in the flour, but certainly it's going to brown the meat. Once the meat's all browned, I sprinkle in the diced onion. Goes back in the oven another 15 minutes. And then By now, there's some liquid coming out. I just simply scatter some regular all-purpose flour over the top. Don't stir it. Just scatter, dust it with flour, put it back in the oven another 15 minutes, and that's going to kind of help make its own roux. You won't get lumps this way, I promise. This is a method we use for high-quantity cooking instead of trying to stir a big pot. And so when that's done, of course, another 15, then you stir the flour in. What the heat has done is gelatinize the flour so it won't make lumps. At this point, you add your Guinness, which should be a fair amount of the liquid going in there, and so a little bit of beef stock or beef broth is fine. You're going to need the salt in there anyway. And, of course, this will be a little bit thick. So you want to do is simmer this now. You don't want to boil it hard. You want to simmer it. If you need to add more broth, you can, or even water. But the beef should be fairly well cooked and actually well on its way to being tender by this point. You remember, you've got about an hour of cook time already. So we have our chunks of mushrooms and carrots, basically, is what we add for our vegetables in there. Those should go in there. And then when the carrots are done, you have to correct your seasoning. Now, a little thyme is probably the only herb I would use when simmering the meat. You could put a bay leaf if you want, some parsley. And at the end, of course, the Guinness is bitter. You've got your salt, so you want to sweeten it a little bit. And some recipes would call even for a little dried fruit, but you could put in brown sugar, syrup if you like, but I the brown sugar works just fine for me, a little earthier than the white sugar. And then if you like a little bit of regular mustard, just prepared mustard, that kind of mellows things out a little bit. That's optional, but basically you've got a nice braised beef with the vegetables in there, and then you just simply need to serve them over some mashed potatoes, or we do the smashed potatoes at the restaurant Yukon Golds with the scallion and sour cream. It's almost kind of like an Irish potatoes, like the Cole Cannon would be your mashed potatoes with some cooked cabbage mixed in. Actually, those would make a nice little patty, or even what we would call a galette, a G word. Form them, well, once they're cooled off, into a circle, and then you can lightly flour them or not, and then saute them in some oil or butter, make a little potato cake, and then have your beef and Guinness over and around that.
Distant lights from across the bay.
Babylon Sister, shake it.
So beef Guinness, that's, probably one of the, we sell a lot of corned beef, but that really is popular on St. Pat's Day. And it's a good dish to make any time. I think we're going to feature that during restaurant week. It's good pub food all the time. Probably start featuring it for a seasonal special. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back to discuss more about St. Patrick's Day. Chef Bill's Table.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones-Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You.
Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Right, we're back at the table here. Our venture into Irish food, all the favorites here. It'll be hard to decide what to make. Of course, the Irish stew. Sometimes people, we offer that even by the cup because some people want to, you know, they want a little taste of everything. They may want their corned beef and cabbage, but little lamb stew was always nice. And see, most recipes, I like to do a boil the stew. If I'm making a Navarin or a French lamb stew, then I would brown the meat, but this one for me is boiled. Some recipes may say brown it, but relatively simple. Good lamb cubes. We like the shoulder. Actually, a good mix of shoulder and leg is good, so you got a little bit of fat, a little bit of lean. You want a little bit of the flavor, but really, some people don't like the strong lamb flavor. I happen to like it, but you don't want that good mix of fat and lean. You don't want it all leg meat, but usually the stew from the shoulder would be good. So what I'll do is we'll start it. I get the water hot first and then put the meat in. And what happens if you start in cold water, like when you're making a stock, you start with cold water because you want to get extraction from the bones. But when I'm making the stew, instead of browning it, of course, I'm kind of shocking it in the boiling water. It's kind of like searing it. Not so much for flavor, just to, you know, keep its shape, keep some of the flavor in there. Not really sealing any juices, by the way, but just helps the process get started quicker. And you'll notice I just put the meat in first. You want it covered by a couple of inches of water. And what will happen is, as it comes to a boil, there will be a little foam that comes to the top. And that we like to skim off with a ladle, just the top of it. Some of the fat will start to come out. And we take this off so it doesn't make the sauce too cloudy. Now, simmer the meat. Again, your vegetables that go in there, we like, done it either way, just with the root vegetables, some turnips, carrots, and parsnips, and maybe serve the potatoes on the side, or actually, if you put the potatoes in there, it will help thicken up your stew. And you want them all cut similar size, about the size of the meat chunks, and also the vegetables, so they'll all cook evenly. Now, we'll sprinkle on a few green peas at the end for some color. You don't have to if you don't want to, but we'll do also, we start with some onions, some diced onions, but also to help garnish some little, the mini pearl onions. You can usually find a little bag of those in the freezer, unless you want to boil and peel your own, but I think a little bit of the pearl onions are nice. As I say, and the peas go on at the end so they don't get too overcooked. The last few minutes of service, or you can cook them separately and just sprinkle them on top. But again, for seasoning, bay leaf, parsley, a little thyme is good. Similar seasonings to your other red meats. Now, if you want a little bit thick, what we do at the end is we make a slurry. You take just simply some water or broth, cold, and dissolve some flour in there. Regular all-purpose flour is fine. Want to make sure it's smooth, pour it in there, bring it to a boil, or simmer rather, and then let the starch cook out for a little while. Slightly thicken the stew. If you don't want it, if sometimes, you know, the potatoes might be enough for you. You might not want it thick. For the restaurant, you know, people expect to have some texture to it, so we do thicken it a little, but if you want to make it gluten-free, obviously you would not do this. So there you've got your Irish stew, and again, that could be, you know, if you have the meat and vegetables cut small enough, almost it'd be like a nice soup to have for St. Patrick's Day. But the lamb has plenty of the flavor. Again, you don't need a little. I don't add garlic to it. You can if you like. Garlic and lamb go kind of hand in hand, but this is one lamb dish I use the double onion, some onion for cooking and then some onion for garnish, and that seems to do the trick. Of course, the potato should be a star on your Irish meal. Kind of kept everybody alive over there until, you know, the famine kind of destroyed that, but they're very, very dependent on potatoes, so we do want to honor the potato on St. Patrick's Day. So another, I know we mentioned the smash or the cold cannon or champ, you know, potatoes, some smashed potatoes with a little, some greens in there, could be scallion, a little bit of the cabbage, or maybe even some kale, if you like. Get that little green color and some vegetable texture in there. The other dish we like, we tried it the last couple of years, Dublin Lawyer, it's called. If anybody's heard of Dublin Lawyer. And it refers to a lobster in whiskey cream, Irish whiskey cream. And you can make it with crab meat. Shrimp is probably a good substitute. Very simple to make, and you actually can, well, you can use, you can buy some lobster tails and cut the meat in pieces and saute it. Or you could use steamed lobster meat and just heat it up in the whiskey cream. Very simple, though, just really a little cayenne, or we use a little of our house Cajun seasoning. And you need good Irish whiskey and heavy cream, maybe a pat of butter. And you just saute the seafood in a little butter, then add your whiskey, you know, flame it up, burn off the alcohol and your cream, and very, very simple. Very rich. I guess the lawyers were the ones that could afford this kind of thing, so that's why It's named Dublin Lawyer. But another dish, of course, salmon, Irish salmon. You figure Ireland, you know, surrounded by water. I mean, you wonder why people don't pay more attention to the seafood. But we also, if you don't want the shrimp or the shellfish, salmon would be always a great dish. And you get, you know, your Scottish salmon or Irish salmon, you know, spring for a little bit better. It's farm-raised, but done sustainably. Very, very high-quality product. I would do this with a creamed Napa. I would use Napa cabbage. It's a little bit softer, cooks quicker. But I would julienne the cabbage or chop it, saute with a little onion. I always like to do shredded carrots in there. It gives it a nice blush color. And you're going to saute. I use white wine, a little broth, and cream, salt, and pepper. Cook it till the cabbage is soft, and then you could bake or sear your salmon. I think it would be nice, just again, on a little potato cake or some mashed potatoes. Be a good way to get some seafood into your diet on St. Patrick's Day. Maybe it could be a little Irish smoked salmon with a little potato cake. Or we've done it before, just steam off some little red potatoes, scoop them out, and a little sour cream or creme fraiche and smoked salmon, and have a little hors d'oeuvre. Now we're winding down the end of the hour. Don't forget St. Patrick's Day. You can cook at home, but of course we in the restaurant business encourage you to patronize our establishments. Jake's, of course, will have the traditional Irish food, lunch and dinner. Remember us for Restaurant Week, as well as other local establishments. Get out, especially during the week. Demand for tables is a little bit less. It's a good chance to enjoy your local restaurants, save a little bit of money. Through Lent, of course, we're doing our traditional fish fry at Jake's. It's not just fish and chips. It's a combo, shrimp, scallops, and cod. But we'll do fried lobster, fried clams, oysters, shrimp, scallops, whatever you want. It's all out there. And then 250 cans of PBR. We've got to escape here. The hour's over. I've got to make way for Sue from ShopRite. I guess next week we'll hit the G equipment and letters. Got some nice things, you know, galettes, gnocchi. I made some nice gnocchi the other night. So we got some things to talk about next week. But for right now, I got to scoot. Chef Bill, thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor. An ISIS sympathizer from Ohio says he planned to carry out unthinkable atrocities in the name of ISIS right here in the United States.
I would have took my gun, put it to Obama's head, pulled the trigger, then I would unleash more bullets on the Senate and the House of Representative members, and I would attack the Israeli embassy.
Christopher Cornell called WXIX-TV in Cincinnati collect from jail last week in an interview his lawyers tried to keep from being made public. Federal investigators say Cornell researched how to make pipe bombs, purchased a gun, and made plans to travel to Washington to carry out an attack. ISIS sympathizer Christopher Cornell says homegrown ISIS terrorists are plotting attacks in the United States.
We're in Texas, we're in Ohio, we're in New York City, we're in Washington, D.C.
The FBI says ISIS could be behind the hacking of several Western websites. The attacks over the weekend hit a number of websites, including a NASCAR Speedway in Ohio, a New York hotel, a Goodwill in St. Louis, and a church in Canada. This is USA Radio News.
Turn down that radio!
If this sounds familiar, you know it's time to address your hearing loss. But custom hearing aids can cost as much as $5,000 each. and are not covered by Medicare. The good news is